Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive, today's pop quiz winner won a 6-10 pair of tickets to Royals and Yankees. The pop quiz was Casino Royale. I don't know why he picked that. BK's on the phone. I would ask him why he picked Casino Royale. I've actually never seen a James Bond movie before.
Never seen any of them.
Never seen any of them. I watched like 5 minutes of the one that had Halle Berry and then I stopped watching it. But no, I've never seen a James Bond movie before. We'll find out later why Casino Royale was today's pop quiz. Coming up,
Daniel Craig got hurt. So the next James Bond movie is going to be delayed.
Oh, wow, I did not know that. So hopefully speedy recovery to Daniel Craig. Coming up in 15 minutes, Peter Schrager thinks that Christian McCaffrey is the most exciting player in the NFL. He's not right. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Plus, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. But let's go inside the mind of another person. He is one of my favorite people in the world. He even had a bobblehead doll named after him. It is Royals television broadcaster Rex Eller. HUD, you there?
Oh, hey, what's up, T-Dot? How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, what a question, man. It's great to come off a road trip and have all my boys home, finishing up their finals in school, right now taking paid to get a haircut. Just kind of having a down day is really special when you got a bunch of kids at home and got some steaks, going to hang out with my beautiful wife, and we're going to have a little barbecue tonight. But how you guys doing?
We're doing good. All right, it sounds like you got a busy day, so we won't keep you long. Let's start with this. Yesterday, you had a very special day in St. Louis. Just kind of take us through your whole day yesterday.
Oh, well, you know, it's really quite an honor. Especially for a guy like me, I never could put up any good numbers anywhere. You know, I wasn't all about numbers. I was kind of just a jack-of-all, master of none, utility-type player. But to be able to be recognized in a franchise like the Cardinals, for just the 3 years I put in there, I hustled and played hard. That's all I did. And that's all really a player can do. And it's nice that they would say, hey, we honor alumni every year. We do three or four guys, and we want to do a bobblehead of you. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, we want to honor you. I said, what for? I didn't do anything. He said, well, you know, the crowd liked you, and we want to do it. So they had it. It was a team ticket. You had to buy a team ticket, you know, to get one. And I went out and signed with some people. You know, it's been almost 30 years since I played there. And they remember me like it was yesterday. And the people in line knew me feel so good, you know, saying, hey, you know, my kid who always wore number 10 after you. And, you know, just when you go through a career like baseball, and it's very short, I'm so thankful that I can look back and say, you know, I made an effort to love people, to always talk to kids, and to always do stuff for others. That way, you know, I didn't realize it was going to come back like it has. But what an honor. I could throw out the first pitch. I didn't throw any warm-up tosses. I got Mike Schultz, the manager of the Cardinals, to catch my pitch, and I short-hopped him and pitched it with no problem. He made it look like it didn't even hit the ground. So I had him sign it, and I said, hey, Schultz, way to pick me up, man. And he said, no problem, HUD. And, you know, that manager is a long-time Cardinal. He's been in the system for years. He understands the Cardinal way. And George Kissel was such a big part of his life. That's a famous instructor in the Cardinal organization, you know. And so it was pretty special. Nice that we were able to split there. I was hoping we could sweep. But this one game that I threw the opening pitch, the Royals won. So that's what makes me feel good.
HUD, being out in St. Louis the last couple of days, does it feel like St. Louis and Kansas City on the baseball field still have a rivalry?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's no doubt. And you know what? It's a friendly rivalry in a sense. It's not a we want to, you know, kill you, we want to beat you, you know. Not one of those. I sense real friendly. And walking out in front of their ballpark before the game, you could see that the blue and the red, people all in the same party going out, and both the Royals and Cardinal fans. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun one day again when that happens and we get to postseason and we play each other. That's going to happen sometime. And, you know, guys, just to think about the future of this organization, the Royals, and how they're going about it. And Dayton, having Dayton here is a huge bonus because he has the blueprint for another championship, believe it. Because of the water and the starting pitching down below, a couple of pieces of the star players are there. You know, it's exciting to look ahead, but in the meantime, watching the offense with power and speed is really entertaining. I don't know if I'm the only one entertained. Are you guys?
Very entertained, and you talk about the youth and you talk about the future. Can you talk about Ned Yost and the job that he's done? Because we all know how great he was with that first group of players, that Haas, Moose, and Kane era. But can you talk about how good of a job he's done with this newest youth movement?
Yeah, you know, just knowing Ned from the outside, I wish I was in there in the clubhouse and in there with him so I could get a little bit more of his leadership skills. But, you know, obviously the players respond, and that's the main thing. When you see the players responding to him, his coaches, they're all machines, and they work. They have an incredible work habit. To watch them with their attention to detail and taking defensive practice every day before batting practice, I mean, it's just routine. And you watch these professional players and the professional coaches, and they don't miss. They don't ever drop a ball. You don't see anything missed. So what I learned a long time ago from Cal Ripken Jr. playing for the Orioles for a couple of years, he said it's not the 100 ground balls you take, it's the 25 to 30 you take just like a game, and you don't miss. So you a perfect practice makes perfect. So that's what I see every day. No wonder we're the best defending team in the American League so far. Defensive runs, we're about fifth in the American League, saving runs, but we have our fielding percentage is number one. So we got to continue that, and the other will develop. It's nice to see the bullpen start to come in. And the kid Scotty Barlow, man, he finally gave up some runs last night. And he kind of hit a wall and he was missing with his command. But they're finding some pieces, believe me, and it's going to be fun this weekend. Hopefully our weather will stay good and dry, and we'll be able to take a couple games from the Yankees.
Hud, before you get out of here, what do you make of the top four in this lineup? Because they've been really good, but the results haven't necessarily been what you expect them to be.
Well, it's been fabulous, and I'll go top five. I mean, Hunter Dozier's hitting fifth now. I mean, you know, the lineup has been stretched out a little bit with the addition of Nicky Lopez, who's a tough out. Last night he had his first multiple strikeout game. He struck out twice, and I need to ask him if he's ever even had a hat trick. Three, they had him down two strikes in his third time up, and he fought it off, so he didn't get the hat trick. But I just think it's a production from there, the combination of speed and power, Merrifield, Mondesi, you know, Alex Gordon. Wow, is he having fun this year? There's a lot. It's as good as any top five lineup in the American League, although we haven't seen everybody yet, but scoring five runs a game, that'll work. I just would hope that maybe sometimes the team, their personality seems like it's a Jekyll and Hyde, and, you know, they play good, and they score out runs, and they get shut down the next night. They need to reel off four or five or six wins in a row and then start thinking about 500.
And that's Royals television broadcaster Rex Hudler, who was gracious enough to come on with us during his off day. Hud, go out and have a nice barbecue, my man.
Way to go, guys. Thanks for including me. It's really a lot of fun. I can't wait for this weekend.
I appreciate it. That is our guy, Rex Hudler, having a nice little off-day barbecue with the family back in town as the Royals get ready to host the New York Yankees this weekend. As Hud said, hopefully the weather can hold up. Should be a good weekend series with the holidays and the Yankees in town. Coming up in just a little bit, Peter Schrager of NFL Network thinks that Christian McCaffrey is the most exciting player in the NFL, and Sam Mellinger just wrote a story about the Chiefs' cornerback situation. So I at least feel confident that someone in Arrowhead listens to the show, that they know exactly what I've been saying about the cornerback situation. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit.
You think you're the only one that knows that the Chiefs' cornerback situation is an issue?
I mean, they've had 5 months to address it, and all they've brought in was Bashaud Breeland. So I don't know if they knew that until I just read this story from Sam Mellinger.
I think their plan was to get a better cornerback either through the draft or through free agency or through trade, and when that didn't happen, their plan became build around. I think they've done a pretty good job by adding Frank Clark, by getting Tyrann Mathieu, by drafting a guy like Thornhill, and who says they're done necessarily on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, We certainly can talk about it coming up on the other side. Let's just go ahead and get to it. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine, and we will talk about Christian McCaffrey, who Peter Schrager thinks is the most exciting player in the NFL, and Sam Mellinger wrote a story about the cornerback situation. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's
The Drive. The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will go inside the mind of the machine. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Go ahead and keep it locked in right here. There's actually a lot of football Chiefs news coming in kind of all at the same time. We'll get to it. We will tell you where Gerald McCoy will be taking his first visit to. We heard earlier in the week that there were a couple AFC contenders interested in Gerald McCoy. We'll tell you where he will be at least taking his first visit. We don't know where he's going to sign, but we do know where he's going to take his first visit to. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit, waiting on the audio of it. But I just read this story during the commercial break from Sam Mellinger, and the headline says, the Kansas City Chiefs and the position they'd most like to upgrade still. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm about to click on this. He's going to be talking about tight end or some foolishness. But no, the Chiefs seem to know what I know, is that their cornerback group maybe is not enough. So he wrote down three truths. One, OTAs, don't pay attention to them. What does it matter? Two, Steve Spagnuolo is going to be an upgrade over Bob Sutton. I think we can all identify with that. And then his third truth was, we do not need to know any of that to know that the Chiefs cornerback group, as presently constructed, is both not good enough to maximize the team's Super Bowl chances and, as stands, is the team's most likely fatal flaw. Basically what I've been saying here for the last three. But you say everybody knows that? Okay. This is the part I disagree, though. He then says that he thinks even the Chiefs front office and coaches would likely agree with the last point. Football teams never try to stop upgrading wherever possible, but the Chiefs are placing a particular emphasis on cornerback. Let me ask this question. What have they shown you that would suggest they put a particular emphasis on cornerback? They did not do it last offseason. We agree. After the essential Kendall Fuller for Marcus Peters swap, they did not place, we agree, a particular emphasis on the cornerback situation.
No, they tried, but nothing really worked.
This offseason, we would agree, they have done nothing that would suggest what Sam Mellinger is talking about. The Chiefs are putting a particular emphasis on cornerback. They placed that emphasis on D-line. They've placed that emphasis on linebacker. They've placed that emphasis on safety. Tell me what evidence we would have to suggest that the Chiefs place a quote-unquote particular emphasis at cornerback. I haven't seen it so far, but I am happy that Mellinger would write, Chiefs front office and coaches likely would agree with the last point. That's what I've been saying. I don't know how you go into football in 2019 with their cornerback group. I'm not saying that they haven't improved everywhere else on the defense, because they have improved, but you're saying going into a all-in year in a passing league in which teams are throwing 30, 40, 50 times a game, and there could be, what, 10 to 15 really talented, not elite level, but really good quarterbacks in the NFL, you can't go into a league in which Charvarius Ward could potentially be your number two. That's just not a recipe for success.
I guess they're doing one of two things. One, they're playing with fire. They're waiting till the very last minute. They're waiting to see who gets cut. Maybe a frontline cornerback like Josh Norman gets cut, and then all of a sudden that solves a lot of your problems. Or two, and I think this is more likely what they're doing, they realized that they were pretty close last year with the group of cornerbacks that they had. They tried to improve. They didn't. And when I say they tried to improve, I don't really know if they tried to improve, because I haven't seen anything. I haven't really seen a player that I can point to or a move that they can point to that didn't work and say, see, at least they were trying. It looks like they've completely abandoned the cornerback position. But I think what they think, CDOT, is that they were really close last year, that they added Frank Clark, that they got Tyrann Mathieu, that they spent their second round draft pick on Juan Thornhill, and that that's going to make up for having really bad cornerbacks.
But I'm
that's
looking,
their plan. It's not a good one, but that's the plan.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking at this Mellinger column. He then goes on for the big-name options, like Patrick Peterson. The Chiefs, I think, would love Patrick Peterson. A lot of teams would love Patrick Peterson. Arizona's not interested in trading. They put here, the Cardinals have been consistent in shutting down inquiries, according to league sources. Again, I think the Chiefs want Patrick Peterson, but at some point Arizona has to suggest that they are willing to trade Patrick Peterson. Haven't seen that. He also brings up Jalen Ramsey. I think the Chiefs would be very interested in Jalen Ramsey. I don't think that he's available. Nothing I think we've seen would suggest that Jalen Ramsey is available to be traded for. Chris Harris, I think, would make a lot of sense in Kansas City if they weren't in the same division as the Broncos. Let's say that Chris Harris played for the Jets. I think you'd have a chance to trade for him. Let's say that Chris Harris played for the Vikings. I think you'd have a chance to trade for him. The Broncos are not trading Chris Harris to the Kansas City Chiefs. He then brings up Artie Burns, who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It is terrible.
He then points out exactly what you said. He was awful in 2018, and Pro Football Focus had him rated significantly worse than Orlando Scandrick.
When I say terrible, I mean like legitimately one of the worst corners in the NFL.
Sounds like a friend of my grandfather's. Artie Burns?
So I'm looking at it like this. It seems to me that they are waiting on, I would say, one of three things. They are waiting on Arizona to change their mind about Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, keep waiting for that.
They are looking at Minnesota's cap situation and thinking there is a chance they could trade Xavier Rhodes or Trey Waynes, or they are waiting for a top player to get cut. There is no other move that they can make that would significantly improve it. Artie Burns is not improving your cornerback situation. He is the same thing you have, just a different player, just a different name. I'd rather have Charvarius Ward than have Artie Burns. Artie Burns stinks.
Artie Burns won poker night at my grandpa's a couple of weeks ago. And the thing that's scary to me is that they actually got to the quarterback last year, which means in theory the secondary shouldn't have been as bad as they were. I don't think they're going to get to the quarterback as much as they did last year with the moves they made.
Yeah, I don't think that. A lot of people in the text line are bringing in Bashaud Breeland. I just want to point out that Bashaud Breeland signed a one-year, $2 million contract.
That's not the big move that we're talking about. That's a move.
And that's a fine move. Anybody that you know that breaks down cornerback says that they think he's comparable to Steven Nelson.
Awesome.
I wouldn't feel much different about this team if they didn't have Bashaud Breeland, but they had Steven Nelson. I'd feel the exact same about their quarterback. Go get another one. Now, if you had Steven Nelson and Bashaud Breeland, that's another thing. It's like an either-or swap. I don't think Bashaud Breeland is an upgrade. I do think that sometimes we don't place enough context in. Sometimes the NFL tells you how good players are. If you're a cornerback and you get cut by your team, they don't want you to come back, and you sign with another team for a one-year, $2 million deal, it tells you that the demand was not very high for you on the open market. That's what it tells me. So for him to sign that kind of deal, to not wait it out the way some guys are doing, like Alan Bailey hasn't signed yet. But we agree, Alan Bailey's a good player. He's going to sign somewhere, two-year, $10 million deal. Yeah. It just tells me, Bashaud Breeland, he is not the piece you need to get over the hump to beat the New England Patriots.
What's crazy is 2 years in a row, C-Dot, we're talking about the exact same thing. I mean, wouldn't you say this time last year, the biggest concern for the team a couple of months from heading into St. Joe was the cornerback position? Wouldn't you say that if you had to point to a group of players that cost them the Super Bowl would be the cornerback position? And here we are, and they made all these moves, and they made all these additions, and they had a draft, and free agency has passed. And we're still, damn it, talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah, we are talking about the same thing. So that story was from Sam Mellinger. Go ahead and check it out. The fact that he at least threw a name out there in Artie Burns. I know Sam well enough to
Artie
know.
Burns.
Like, I mean, someone from the organization. Or
it's
someone
a Brett Veach special. He's a former first-round pick. He is basically the Cam Irving of cornerbacks. So take that for what you will. If you like Cam Irving, maybe it works out with Artie Burns. But that's what he is.
I mean, 24, $1.8 million cap hit. I wouldn't really
fault you. In bad football.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really fault you if you made that
and
move.
And football.
That's not a great move. That's a move that puts you in the exact same situation, but at least you just throw more ingredients in the pot and then, you know, hope you
that
get gumbo.
That can't be the move. That can't be the move that you say, oh, yeah, we're getting a corner now. Like, if you move for him, it's, okay, let's bring in three or four more names and see if we can keep throwing bodies at this thing. That can't be the move to fix your cornerback situation when he's been bad in the NFL for 3 years.
That's what they tried last year, though, is they tried that numbers game, you know, the old quantity over quality, and that didn't work out.
They definitely tried that last
year. They tried Bashaud Breeland. They tried all these different moves that didn't end up working, and it looks like that's what they're going to do again.
Coming up in a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. Keep it locked in. So Gerald McCoy has told interesting teams that he will visit the Cleveland Browns. Sources tell Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of NFL Network. He is scheduled to visit the Cleveland Browns tomorrow. Among the other teams who are interested in Gerald McCoy are the Panthers and the Bengals. I'm going to be very curious to see what happens with Gerald McCoy for this. Like, part of me has a lot of respect for Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh is a mercenary. He's like the Unsullied from Game of Thrones. They just go to the highest bidder. Like, if you want an army, you pay the Unsullied, they'll join your team. And Ndamukong Suh does not care, I think, about winning a ring. I just want to pay for whoever's paying the most, and I'll go play for him. Gerald McCoy, you got a chance to actually play for a Super Bowl this year. You can sign with Cleveland. You can sign with Indianapolis. You can sign with Los Angeles. You can sign with the Patriots. You do what you want to do, but signing with the Bengals tells me I just want to get paid here. The Bengals ain't winning nothing. The Panthers probably aren't winning anything this year. If he goes to Cleveland, we got to start really having a conversation about Cleveland. Are they in the top tier with the Chiefs and the Patriots?
I think they're already there. I think that would really tilt the balance of power. Gerald McCoy is a really good football player still at the back end of his prime that I think if he went to Cleveland, all of a sudden you could talk about their talent on both sides of the ball on par with Kansas City. And same thing with the Chargers. They're the team that scares me the most. Obviously, a division opponent. You'd have to face them a couple of times. And I realized there was a razor thin margin. Everybody wants to talk about how good the season was last year, and it was, and the Chiefs were the best team and the most entertaining and had the best record. But the truth is, the difference between them and the Chargers, C-Dot, was razor thin. If they had a player like Gerald McCoy, all of a sudden, that could tilt the balance of power in the AFC West.
And I will say for Cleveland, even if they get Gerald McCoy, right now it is just a paper game. Like, the Chiefs have done something on the field. They went to the AFC Championship game last year. They won a playoff game. The Colts have done something. Other teams have done something. Right now with Cleveland, it is all prognostication and hope and based on playing the paper game with them. But, man, they're stacking up a roster. If Baker takes a step forward that I think he can, when you look at the weapons that are around him, you look at the defense that they're putting together, Cleveland legitimately is one of the eight most talented teams in the NFL.
There's got to be a John Dorsey statue in Cleveland on every corner right now, considering how bad they were for, what, like 15, 20 years? They went two full seasons winning one football game, and then John Dorsey got there, and it took him, what, 5 minutes to turn around the entire system.
Coming up in a little bit, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Plus, we will go inside the mind of the machine. A little bit of breaking news here. Devon Dotson is likely to return to the University of Kansas. So good news for the Jayhawks. Coming up in a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. Next is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Here's your chance to win $1,000 on the 30s in the national cash contest. Text the word WING, W-I-N-G, WING to 72881. That's WING. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City offering you both weekdays, 7A to 7P. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up at 4:30. One more time for those of you keeping score at home. WING, W-I-N-G, WING, W-I-N-G, WING to 72881. Your national cash contest code word 4330 is WING. Coming up in just a little bit, we can officially put the Le'Veon Bell conversation to rest. And BK made a very interesting point about Chris Jones. Doesn't happen very often. So whenever he makes a very interesting point, that's something we have to talk about. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our Pack-A-Day giveaway. But let's go inside the mind of the machine.
Welcome back in, C-Dot. Good to see you, BK. The first team, second team, and third team All-NBA is out. What surprises you? Giannis, Harden, Paul George, Steph Curry, and Jokic are on the first team. Kevin Durant, Kawhi, Kyrie, Damian Lillard, and Joel Embiid on the second team. And I didn't write down the third team, but that's where LeBron James is.
I was surprised that LeBron James, I mean, just, I guess, if you had told me at the beginning of the season LeBron James would not get one single vote for first team All-NBA, I would have called you crazy. I mean, it really goes to show you that either LeBron, maybe it just shifts my opinion on where LeBron could be. Like, I have held the belief for so long that LeBron is the best basketball player in the world that maybe I got to open my eyes and I got to think that maybe Giannis or Kevin Durant or another player in the NBA has kind of evolved to that point. I'm not willing to fully let go of the LeBron dream, but it certainly is a conversation. It has not been for the last decade.
I think what surprised me is that it seems like the voters mostly got it right this year. Like, sometimes you'll see, oh, big name player goes on first team just because he's big name player. They kind of got it right this year, and that doesn't always happen.
How much interest, guys, are teams going to have in Eric Berry this offseason? Not a lot of – we haven't heard a ton about Eric Berry since he said bye-bye to the
Kansas
City Chiefs.
When was the last time you heard any report?
That's what I'm saying.
Was it the Cowboys?
Any interest in Eric Berry this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to sign a one-year prove-it kind of deal. I mean, I understand if you're a team, you kind of wait to see what happens. I think he'll probably sign closer to the start of the training camp, probably sometime in June or July. I mean, I wouldn't sign Eric Berry right now either. But no, I mean, he's absolutely going to find a place. He'll get signed on a one-year, very incentive-laden contract.
BK, can we already see him coming back and signing his one-day contract like Derek Johnson and the great Dwayne Bowe?
I don't think that's coming anytime soon. But I am a little surprised that we haven't seen more interest. Like, we haven't even seen any reports of a visit other than him going to the Cowboys that one time and them potentially being interested in him. There have been no teams that have been rumored to be interested in Eric Berry. There was a little bit of buzz that people connected him to the Browns because of John Dorsey. But outside of that, we've heard nothing about Eric Berry this offseason.
Juwan Howard is the newest Michigan basketball coach. C-Dot, do you have a favorite member of the Fab Five?
That was way before my time. I mean, I guess Jalen Rose because we just see him the most.
We were looking for Chris Webber. That was the correct answer.
I mean, that Fab Five was just a little bit before my time.
The Raptors, even their series with the Bucks last night. or what was that, two nights ago?
Two nights ago, yeah.
Are we sure Toronto can't pull this series off?
I mean, I still don't think they're going to win the series, but I was really surprised how Giannis played in a not-home environment. I mean, I thought for the last two games, I thought he played kind of shook that I know we've kind of, like, talked about, like, I guess nationally, maybe the both countries, about Drake's effect on this series. I think that Drake got in Giannis's head, honestly. Like, I think that, like, his presence and yelling and the troll, like, Giannis for the first time this whole postseason just didn't seem prepared for the pageantry of now this stage. That, man, there is a difference between the first, second round and now. Man, you got a chance to go to the NBA Finals and you're playing the biggest games of your life. I don't think Giannis handled them very well.
Arnold back in the news. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He got dropkicked last week.
I saw that. He's making another Terminator movie. You going to go see it? Any interest?
No. No, I don't have any interest in watching 65-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger be an action movie star. No, I'm good.
Speaking of guys in their 60s, Drew Carey turned 60 today. Did you used to watch the Drew Carey Show back in the day? And what's the most underrated sitcom, in your opinion? Mine has to be either My Name is Earl or The Wonder Years. What would you do if I sang out of tune?
I don't know if Wonder Years would classify as an underrated sitcom. I think it's kind of properly rated as a classic show. Yeah, I think The Wonder Years is properly rated.
You ever seen The Middle?
No, I've never even heard of The Middle
before.
It's a
great show.
I have never seen an episode of The Drew Carey Show. I actually do think he's done a really good job replacing Bob Barker on Family Feud. Or not Family Feud, The Price is Right.
There you go.
I think he's done a really good job on that show.
Come on down.
Underrated sitcom.
You ever see The Critic?
No, I never heard
of that.
That
was a good one, too.
I don't even know who's in that
show.
I'll
give you some time to chew on it. It was a cartoon. I know you're a big boxing guy. There are talks for another Pacquiao Mayweather fight in the works.
Who's talking about that?
They are.
No, the only person talking about that is Manny Pacquiao because he needs the money. Like, no one else is talking about watching those two fight. America's not talking about it. Floyd's not talking about it. HBO's not talking about it. Showtime, DAZN, or whatever that app is called. No one is talking about it but Manny Pacquiao. I have no interest in watching it. I would not pay for it. I'll watch. The only way I'm watching that is if it comes on CBS. That's the only way. It better come on standard, regular television like it's the U.S. Open. That's the only way I'm interested in those watching those two guys fight again.
How do you really feel, though? So you don't want to see Pacquiao Mayweather again?
It was a waste of money.
The first time it was.
You think the second time's going to be much better?
No, it's going to be much worse.
Yeah, I'm cool. No thanks.
If not Golden State.
The only person I would pay to watch Floyd Mayweather fight would be like Terrence Crawford or somebody. Like, I'm not paying to watch him fight anybody else. You're not getting me any more with this fake Conor McGregor stuff the way you got me the last time. Like, you got me. I ain't gonna lie. You got my $100. I'm not giving Floyd Mayweather. I've given him enough money over the years. I'm not giving you any more. I gave you money for Pacquiao. I gave you money for the Conor McGregor. I paid for a couple other fights, went in with people back when you... No, that's it. You're not getting... You get no more money from me.
Okay. If not Golden State, where does Kevin Durant play his basketball next season?
The Knicks. I think there's only a couple of choices for him. I think the Knicks, Clippers, or Golden State are the only one.
What about the Brooklyn Nets?
I don't think you're going to Brooklyn.
What about D.C.?
I think he should have went last year if he was going to. The last time he was going to go.
Now it's such a bad contract with John Wall, he can't go there.
Yeah, now it's worse to go to the Wizards. Yeah, now it's worse to go. He should have went 2 years ago or 3 years ago now if he really wanted to go play for the Wizards.
Adam Gase says at this point it would be ridiculous to trade Le'Veon Bell. Do you agree with him? And if they were to trade Le'Veon Bell, should the Chiefs be interested?
Did you read the rundown today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah. We talk about that later on the show.
The next segment we talk about.
In 2 minutes. Right,
we'll get to it.
Goodness gracious.
The Pelicans general manager says that he can make it work with both Zion and Anthony Davis.
I mean, I would hope so.
If AD stays, would New Orleans be a playoff team right away?
I mean, if they can't be a playoff team with Zion and Anthony Davis, everyone
West,
should be fired.
Though, that's not as easy as you're trying to make it out to be right now. Who are you taking out?
I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years ago with him and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, but LeBron wasn't in the West at that point.
I mean, I would say this season, LeBron being in the West didn't stop anybody from making the playoffs last year. They didn't make it.
He
they
also
missed
wasn't
the
healthy, and the entire team wasn't healthy.
No, that's a fair point. I mean,
so you've got the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, Spurs, Clippers, and then you've got the Lakers. The Kings were much better this year. The Timberwolves have a chance. I mean, it's not as easy as we seem to make it out to be.
What shoes are you wearing right now, C-Duck?
I would say no.
What shoes am I wearing
right
now?
Yeah, those are fresh. I like those.
Pippen.
Those old Scottie Pippen.
The Nike Air More Uptempos, I believe they're called.
Funny we're talking about shoes because
Scottie Pippen.
Top10s.com came up with their top 10 best shoe brands of all time. Do you remember Airwalks?
I don't remember Airwalks at all. I never had any.
Followed by Toms. I've never heard of these. What's a Supra?
You never heard of Toms before?
No, I've never heard of Toms. Asics, Etnies.
Toms is the one that you wear to give back to the Africa, right?
Oh, good thing.
Doesn't like a portion of the money go to Africa? Toms.
I think you're right, actually. Maybe.
You absolutely have dated a girl that has worn Toms before, like 1,000,000%, I'm certain.
I'm pretty sure every girl that I date wears Uggs, and those things look ridiculously stupid. Girls, I know you think you look good. You look like the Michelin Man in those things. New Balance, Fila, DC, Converse, Puma, Vans, Adidas, and number one is Nike. No surprise there, right?
Do Jordans not count on this, or are they under the brand of Nike?
Probably Nike.
They are under the brand of Nike.
I just would consider them different, but I get it if you're not a sneaker person.
Let's see what else we got. The Spelling Bee is coming up in a few days, the National Spelling Bee. Is there any words that you just cannot spell? I can't spell the word business to save my life.
Convenience. I always misspell convenience.
I don't think
what
I can spell
was the word
right
that
now.
You got knocked out on in middle school or elementary school?
Raspberry.
Do you remember?
Yeah, what the hell is a P doing in the word raspberry? R-A-S-P-B. What? What?
Diagonal.
Another
mine was
tough
captain.
One.
Captain.
Diagonal.
You should have got captain. What did you spell that with a K?
No, I put the A before the I.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
That's acceptable. You made it outside the mind. Of the machine.
I do think that we're going to live in a generation where our kids don't learn how to spell anything because you don't have to know how to spell anything. All you got to do is get spell close check. Enough. Yeah, all you got to do is get close enough, and then it'll tell you how to spell it correctly.
Exactly.
You notice a little red squiggly line underneath, and then you fix it.
Yeah.
You want to spoil any more of the show coming up in Mind of the Machine? I'm just kind of curious.
I'm just curious
if you want to do that or
not. No, we're good. I'm good.
What's funny about it is literally the next, right underneath on our rundown where it says Mind of the Machine, it says Le'Veon Bell discussion right there.
I see
like,
it now.
I mean, it's just.
Well, I feel like we probably should have talked about the Royals top four in the lineup.
Goodness gracious.
All right, my bad.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our Pack-A-Day giveaway. But first, we have the conversation we were going to have inside the Mind of the Machine next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 10 minutes, we will give you a chance to be registered for an Adalberto Mondesi autograph rookie card in our Pack-A-Day giveaway. Coming up at 4 o'clock, ESPN has put together a list that says the five reasons on why the Chiefs could miss the playoffs in 2019. We'll go through the list and see if they're critiques are valid when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also get to that. Plus, if Sean doesn't spoil it, we'll get into his take about the Royals' top four being great in their lineup, but he'll probably say that here in the next 6 minutes, and then we'll have to talk about something else coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we will go through the Eliminator. I know he ain't going to spoil that. We'll do the Kansas City Eliminator. We'll do that coming up at 4:30, plus another chance to give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest coming up at 4:30. So we actually talked about this a little bit last week, but it was just kind of some sports radio fodder. It does not appear that Le'Veon Bell is going to get traded. As disappointed as that makes me, I certainly would have loved to see open bidding on Le'Veon Bell. But today, I mean, Adam Gase, I mean, just came out and said, that's dumb. We are not trading Le'Veon Bell. So I assume we can put that conversation to rest about the Chiefs. I certainly would have loved to see a team offer a fourth or a fifth round draft pick to kind of get the Jets out of that contract, but does not appear like the Jets will be moving on from Le'Veon Bell.
Would you have wanted the Chiefs to do it, though? Because it seems like you're one of the bigger fans that I know in Kansas City of one Damian Williams. You've got faith in him. I say I want to see more, which is why if that move could have happened in Le'Veon Bell, I would have done it. If you can add a proven commodity at running back to an offense that averaged 35 points a game last year, that might be the one way that there wouldn't be a taper off when Tyreek Hill's out if you add a player like Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I mean, I just wouldn't spend a lot for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, there's no denying that Le'Veon Bell is better than Damian Williams.
Sure,
I'm not denying that. But if you're telling me you also have to give up a draft pick compensation for him and assume the contract, like, I was only really interested in doing a fourth or a fifth round pick for Le'Veon Bell. I would not be interested in doing much more than that. Like, I'm surprised that you're kind of so down on Damian Williams. Not even just him specifically, just Andy Reid offenses and knowing what he does with running backs and seeing him at the second half of the season. He was just really good the second half of the season, and traditionally Andy Reid has done a really good job with running backs. I'm not saying that Damian Williams is going to be Kareem Hunt this year, but running back is at the bottom of my concerns for this team in 2019.
I'm not down on Damian Williams. I just want to see that he's a front flight running back like everybody talks about him being.
I don't think he needs to be front flight, though.
He better be. I mean, you had Kareem Hunt, and before that, you had Spencer Ware, who was playing really good. Before that, you had Jamal. Before that, you had LJ. Before that, you had Priest. It's been like 15 years since Kansas City has had a borderline elite running back, or at least elite running game, and you can say a lot of that has to do with Andy Reid
You did mention Spencer Ware in the middle, and we agree. Spencer Ware was nothing like the other running backs that you just named.
Sure. Yeah, which one of these doesn't belong? The answer is Spencer Ware, but every other one of those guys that I mentioned was elite, and I think that Damian Williams...
I don't think he needs to be elite, though. Like, I mean, maybe this is a difference in perception. That's perfectly fine. Like, I don't need him to be Kareem Hunt or Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott. if he can be a guy who gets the ball 220 times and rushes for 900 yards this season and helps you out of the backfield and Carlos Hyde kind of does his thing, like, I think that's enough for this offense.
See, I think if he's not Kareem Hunt, then the offense isn't going to be nearly as good. I think that Kareem Hunt's the one thing that we didn't talk about because he was kicked off the team. By the end of the season, it was kind of like, see, we didn't need Kareem Hunt. The truth is the team was better, the running game was better, and they were scoring more points easier when they had Kareem Hunt. That's what a front top-flight running back does. I'm not saying Damian Williams isn't that guy. He did score 13 touchdowns, 13 freaking touchdowns in limited time last season. I'm just suggesting that I'm not completely sold on him yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand that concept, to be completely honest with you. And again, I think this offense can be viable, and I think that Damian Williams, right now, if you ask me what's the floor for Damian Williams, I think he runs for at least 900 yards, and I think he has at least 8 touchdowns this season. And then you factor in Carlos Hyde's contribution. That's more than enough offensively. I don't think the Chiefs' offense needs a top-5 running back to work.
It's just you've got a proven commodity at every other level of the offense at almost every other position. We agree that Tyreek Hill is proven. Sammy Watkins, when he's good, he's great when he's healthy. We've got the best tight end in the game. The offensive line was pretty damn good. The quarterback was the best in the league. I'm just saying, for a team that the only way they're going to beat you is if they average probably 32 to 35 points a game.
I don't think that's the case with this defense, though.
I think if they're going, I shouldn't say beat you.
35 is a lot of points.
Let me take that back. Beep, beep, and put that in reverse. I think they can beat teams this year 24-21, 20-17, because I think the defense is going to be better. But once the playoffs roll around, I think the Chiefs' MO is going to be the same, where they're going to have to outscore you. They're going to have to put up those 40-point games, because we're talking about the Texans and the Colts and the Patriots, a bunch of teams, the Chargers in the AFC.
We agree that last year this offense put up a lot of points with Damian Williams as their running back and not Kareem Hunt as their running back. Like, last year, we agree their offense was not the problem. Damian Williams played really well in the AFC Championship and had 3 touchdowns in the game. He was not the issue.
No, he wasn't, but a lot of that was because Kareem Hunt and this offense, especially the running game, got the ball rolling at the beginning of the year. I just want to see what he can do out the gates. I'm not saying that he won't be great. There's a reason why ESPN.com fantasy football has him as a second-round pick right now. He's going to have the numbers in a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. You're going to get the numbers. I'm just saying there's going to be a drop-off between him and Kareem Hunt, a guy who the only full season we saw him was the rushing champion.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our Pack-A-Day giveaway. So go ahead and keep it locked in. You'll be registered for a chance to win an Adalberto Mondesi autograph rookie card. Chris Jones is not at Chiefs OTAs. Now, I don't think that's a big deal. It is optional. I do think that Chris Jones will be there when it's mandatory, or if he's not there when it's mandatory, he will just eat the fine because he's going to make a lot of money this offseason. Like, this is a clear play by Chris Jones. It will likely work because that's how these things work. Chris Jones is not here for OTAs, but BK, you had a different perspective on it.
I find it really interesting, CDOT, that for the first time in as long as I can remember, a player is not at OTAs. This is a holdout. Like, this is now mandatory part of the offseason, and Chris Jones not there, which is a holdout. And unlike most holdouts that we've seen in recent years, whether it be here in Kansas City or elsewhere, it feels like most of our listeners, most of the Chiefs fans, are kind of on Chris Jones' side. Like, there's almost unanimous support that Chris Jones should be paid this offseason. He should not show up until he is paid. And I can't remember the last time that was the case. It wasn't the case for Eric Berry. It wasn't the case for Justin Houston. It certainly wasn't the case for Dwayne Bowe. When was the last time a player in Kansas City held out and Chiefs fans were like, yeah, that makes sense. You should probably do that. And we're on your side. You should get paid.
Jamal is probably the last one. Like, I mean,
and that lasted like 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs just caved very quickly because they realized what we all realized, that their offense wasn't going to be very good if they didn't have Jamal Charles. But I will say this. I think that the climate around football is changing and the football fan is changing, that they are more accepting of holdouts than maybe any other time we've seen in NFL history. Like, this is just what happens. If you play as well as Chris Jones did last season and now it's time for you to get paid, you don't show up to OTAs, they then negotiate a contract, and then you show up and get paid. Like, this is the same thing that happened the last two offseasons with Aaron Donald. He eventually got paid, and Aaron Donald continued to play at a high level. I just think now the expectation is, we know Chris Jones is working out. We know once he shows up, he's going to play at a high level. I just think that football fans and their perception of holdouts have just changed.
I know this is a huge if, but if Tyreek Hill didn't have all the off-field stuff going on this offseason, don't you think he would have been another guy this offseason that the fan base would have gone, if you hold out, you deserve it. The team's paid you $700,000 a year for the last 3 years. You've performed like one of, if not the best, wide receiver in the league. I think that if he didn't have all the distractions and all the stuff going on, that the fan base would go pay Tyreek Hill the same way they're saying pay Chris Jones.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I mean, that's not the situation that we're in. I'm with you. I mean, if it was all things considered, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be there for a similar reason. But, I mean, also a lot of things would be different cap-wise and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, it would be 1A, 1B in terms of who to pay. This offseason, I guess I don't know if you'll say thankful enough, they don't have to deal with that. They only have to deal with paying one person. The one person is Chris Jones. And this is just how it works. Like, this is just how the NFL business operates. If you're Chris Jones, it's contract time. You don't show up to the voluntary workouts. Your agent negotiates a contract. They announce a contract in the summer. You show up for the part that matters.
Yeah, it feels unanimous. Kind of like nobody liked the ending of Game of Thrones. Everybody thinks that Chris Jones should get paid. Why shouldn't he? He's coming into his prime. He plays a very important position. Last year, he was incredible. The Chiefs need somebody to get to the quarterback. Usually, defensive tackles don't get to the quarterback unless your name is Aaron Donald or Chris Jones. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious. Pay the man his money.
Text line 69306. No, that's BS. If a guy signs a contract, he needs to honor the whole damn thing because he signed it and play out the whole damn contract for what he agreed. That's a perfectly fine stance to have if you think of that when it comes to contracts.
The two dams were a little unnecessary, but it makes sense.
We don't ask teams to do the same thing. Like, I don't hear many of you upset that the Chiefs didn't honor their contract with Eric Berry. I don't see a lot of people upset about the perception that the Chiefs didn't honor their contract with Justin Houston. The Chiefs have a contract with Justin Houston. They just cut him. They got out of the contract. So I'm with you. If we're going to hold the player sign the contract, adhere to the contract, all right, cool. We got to have the team adhere to the contract when it's a bad contract for them. The Chiefs made the right decision with Eric Berry. Chiefs made the right decision with Justin Houston. That's the business of the NFL. It's also the business on the other side when we agree Chris Jones is going to make $2 million next season, and that's not close to what his compensation is for a game in which you can die. So hold out to go get your money. I don't care about either side.
Well, yeah, that's not how the league works. If a player plays better than his contract is, that's why they've got an agent to go out there and say, give me more money. That's what the whole name of the game is. Players try to maximize what they can possibly make. Their agents go out there and talk to the team, and the team says either, no, you're playing for this, or you're not playing at all, or we're going to give you more money. And in the case of Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones, maybe not Tyreek Hill because he's got all the stuff going on, but in the case of Chris Jones, frankly, he deserves the money. He's outplayed his contract.
Yeah, text line 69306. Do you guys honor your contract? I mean, I still work here.
Do we have another option?
I still honor the contract.
You can ask for a raise. Like, you can go to your boss. I'm talking about you guys or anybody in our audience as well. You can go to your boss and ask for a raise. And if you're good enough at your job and if you have leverage and there's another company looking to hire you, you can play that leverage and potentially get a raise. That's what Chris Jones is doing.
I tried.
Playing his leverage.
He laughed. It didn't work out well.
Well, you just got here, so I don't know if you're really in the raise.
I probably
category.
Shouldn't have tried so soon.
I don't know
soon.
If you're in the raise thing. And you guys honor your contract. If this whole CBS Sports thing works out and they offer me a deal, I will quit this job. Like, I mean, I know that don't sound good, but I will 100% not honor the contract agreement I made with 610 to host this show for the next year and a half, and I will quit this job to go take that job.
Cool.
100%.
Bye.
Most of you can do the exact same thing.
Brought to you by the Baseball Card Store, located on West 87th Street in Overland Park.
It's one way to move forward. Every day you have a chance to win a 2019 Topps Royals team set along with a vintage unopened pack of cards. Each daily winner is then entered for a chance to win a signed Adalberto Mondesi rookie card. Everybody who wins this summer goes into the drawing for the grand prize of an Adalberto Mondesi signed baseball bat. All of this is possible thanks to our friends at the Baseball Card Store. All you got to do, get this trivia question correct. An American League team turned the first triple play of the MLB season last night. Which team did it? If you know the answer to that question, be caller number 6 at 913-576-7610 for your chance to win.
Coming up in a little bit, ESPN put together a list of 5 reasons on why the Chiefs could miss the playoffs this upcoming season. We'll go through it. Is it valid? We'll discuss coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.